You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Rachel McCathy. The live blog has become a common feature on many a news site in today's industry. From national breaking news events to regular council meetings, no matter what the size of the news outlet, there's ample opportunity for digital journalists to try their hand at real-time reporting. In this podcast, we speak to three digital journalists experienced in the world of live blogging about how the technology has developed and is continuing to develop, and some of the lessons they've learned along the way. First, we hear from Guardian reporter Josh Halliday. In his own words, The Guardian loves its live blogs. And as he explains, the digital news environment means plenty of opportunity to put the craft into action.
The fact is that these days, there's not much that you can't live blog because every story is developing. Social media and the internet and the way people are sharing things, the way key players in the news are commenting on things and reacting to news. News is developing all the time. There's never just a single, never anymore a single unit that happens and then that's it for the next 24 hours. It just doesn't happen anymore.
He said The Guardian is currently developing its technology to improve readability on mobile devices, for example. He also discussed other developments he'd like to see in the future.
One thing that the new content management system doesn't allow us to do yet is hyperlink specific timestamps, which I think is a really, really important thing when you're talking about, when you're doing the summary at the end of the day and you're talking about events that have happened throughout the day, and you can actually link to that timestamp when it actually happened, so the readers can see, you know, a story in fluidity. They can see what happened when, what you knew when, and get the full lowdown of what was known at that time. That's one thing we can't do at the minute, but that's going to be coming shortly. I think the new content management system, it just gives us a more visually attractive live blog. There's lots of emphasis on pictures, there's lots of bold text, there's it's just broken down into much more digestible nuggets, I think. It looks a lot better. There's still work to be done on it, but that's what's brilliant about this new format, is that we can launch something, keep developing it, and in that way it's kind of like being a technology startup, given that it doesn't have to go through years of process, millions of pounds to develop, and when you actually get it out there and launch it, it's horribly outdated. This is kind of cutting edge in terms of live blogging for a newspaper. It's cutting edge and it's still developing all the time, which is fantastic.
So how does Halliday measure the success of a live blog?
Usually, I would measure success in terms of engagement and how happy readers appear to be with the kind of service that you've provided throughout the day. I think traffic is a much more ephemeral way of quantifying success these days, because it seems to be quite easy to get traffic. You know, if you're a big newspaper website, you have to have the right keywords in the headlines and have the story optimised in the right ways at the right time of day, and that's half the battle. But I think if you are producing really engaging stories and you've kept that going for sort of 6, 7, 8 hours and still kept a healthy amount of readers engaged and commenting below the line or commenting on Twitter, sharing it on Twitter, knowing that and coming back to it from other places online throughout the day, then that's a huge compliment for the newspaper, because it's not easy to keep people engaged online these days.
And live blogging is, of course, not just a craft for the national press to put into action, with plenty of opportunities for the reporting style in the regional press too, from local breaking news events to covering public meetings and elections. Head of Web and Data Development for Trinity Mirror in Merseyside, Neil MacDonald, spoke about how the technology has developed in recent years.
I think the big thing, if you cover an event live, has been, or for us anyway, has been the sort of advances in mobile phone technology. In that it's now, even from, you know, back in 2008, 2009, what you can do with a mobile phone in terms of taking pictures and video and sharing that sort of easily and quickly, really has made running live blogs much more of a, or it's opened up the possibilities in terms of what you can put on, because obviously you can type things on. You might get pictures sent back from your photographers, but it's great as well when you've got reporters out in the field who are able to grab a quick picture on the phone and send that back. I mean, we've had a lot of success with that, but a recent example probably was we live blogged, like most people I imagine, the Olympic torch coming around Merseyside, so we had lots of pictures from our reporters of that. But also using mobile phone apps like Quick or Bambooza, so you're able to stream live video from your phone. So that's probably been the biggest difference in terms of technology, has been able to use different forms of media in a live blog other than words and pictures, which to a degree was the case at the start.
Last year's riots, which broke out in London and other cities across England, including Liverpool, meant 3 days of live blogging at the Liverpool Echo and Liverpool Daily Post, one of its biggest live blogs to date. McDonald reflects on the main lessons learned from that experience.
The most important thing I found, first of all, was to try and... We included on our live blog, we used Cover It Live software then, but we use a different one now called Scribble Live. But we looked to pull in... local relevant Twitter feeds. So, for instance, Merseyside Police, the fire and ambulance and transport services. So the idea was that people, as well as coming to our live blog, those updates would come in automatically from the emergency services and the local council, and people would therefore find our live blog more than useful. So having a look around and thinking, apart from us updating the live blog, what other sources of information might we be able to pull in to update the live blog? That was an important lesson from that one. Second big thing we picked up from that one was the importance of validating information, because we got quite a lot of people who would come on, and the Cover It Live system is people would leave a comment, and then that comment has to be moderated before it appears, pre-moderation. But people would come on and say, oh, there's a fight starting in such and such a street. Now, at the time, given that there were, the disturbances across a decent part of Liverpool, that was entirely possible that there was. But we felt, even though it might have led to sort of a delay in getting the information out there of a couple of minutes, as the Liverpool Echo and Liverpool Daily Post, we had a responsibility that if we said something or put information out there, especially for something like this, a real sort of serious issue, it had to be correct. So when we got sort of updates like that, generally we would call to a business or a pub in that area, or to one of our reporters on the street who we knew was in that area, and just before we put anything on the site, we would find out if what people were saying was actually the truth.
Looking back at the coverage after the event, we also discussed the consumption of live blogs compared to the more traditional article format.
To be fair, that we both get good traffic, and it depends, I suppose, on the audience who you're looking to attract. I mean, to be honest, if you're running a live blog, the first time we did a Through the Night live blog for an election count, I was running it, with the reporters out in the field, but I was... speaking to the news desk, and I honestly expected that there was going to be me on it, and that would be it. But there was a real surprising number. So I think it's generally, you will get, like, the people who stay with you through the night are the people who are really interested in local politics, of which in any area there's going to be a significant number in that. And then in the audit, in the morning, you would get the people, like your everyday people, who would just get up and say, oh, I wonder what happened last night. And look to go online. So I think going through it, well, it's difficult to compare, the audience who read a story or buy a paper and who go through the night. Certainly in our experience, when we've run election live blogs through the night, the numbers have been in, I'd say, between 5,000 and 10,000 people coming on, over the course of the live blog. And then, on our site, again, getting those type of figures for a story is not unusual, and in some cases you get a lot more, but both tend to do well in terms of traffic, but I'd say that the pitched probably at slightly different audiences.
Another journalist who regularly live blogs is Adam Timworth, also an independent consultant, who regularly live blogs at digital media industry events and conferences. While there have been great steps taken in the technology side, Timworth offers a helpful reminder of the importance of also having journalists on the ground to corroborate accounts in live news situations.
We've sort of evolved to this bizarre thing where people sit within newsrooms and cover breaking events from afar. And actually, I think one of the things that particularly the big news organisations who have multiple people should be thinking about is how they can get reporters with their boots on the ground, producing video, producing audio, producing pictures that can all feed back and making that live blog a much richer, much more multimedia experience when a news event happens. I mean, you're going to be able to bring in stuff that's being distributed by others on social media, but then particularly on big news events, then you've got a question of verification. So if you've got somebody on the ground doing it, you know that their stuff is accurate, and it actually also gives you a benchmark to compare user-generated content against and start making, like, this is genuine, this is not, that's an old picture, this is not. So it's a question of how you balance the external team who's actually got boots on the ground with your internal team aggregating and doing verification.
As Timworth is experienced in one-man band blogging, I asked him for his advice on what solo live bloggers should prioritise on top of the essentials of regular and accurate updates.
I genuinely think online, just text itself is rarely good enough these days. Other people will compliment with follow-up videos. Other people will just use video to live blog. It's up to people's particular styles. But I think it's worth bearing in mind that with social media, with Twitter, with these other services that people are using to discuss events, even if you're apparently working on your own, you're also using other sources of input like the discussions on Twitter to help you shape what you're doing and make decisions about what the most important thing people are saying is. Because if you think, oh, that's not important, but then you see, you know, 27 people immediately tweeted on Twitter, you think, okay, possibly my judgment is wrong there. I better draw that into the post I'm doing.
The Guardian's Halliday also highlighted the importance of images when I asked him the same question, as well as the need to offer readers a quick summary of events.
I think images is a big thing in live blogs because a lot of people won't actually be sat there for 6-7 hours a day. They will go away, they'll come back to the live blog, see what's been happening and want to sort of flick through the screen, scanning each update. And if it looks like a big block of text, then they're not going to stay very long and the likelihood is that they're not going to come back for future live blogs. So images just help to lighten things and break things up a little bit. I think summaries are absolutely essential. It's one of the things that I didn't really realise at first when I first started doing the live blogs, is that a summary at 12 o'clock in the afternoon or a summary at 5 o'clock, at least two summaries a day, just is absolutely essential, because otherwise there's nothing really. It sounds strange to put in the context of a general news article, a general news unit, but unless you're distilling the entire day's news events into a few bullet points of the top lines, as you sort of say in the industry, then it's not as much reporting as you would like to think it is, because a big part of reporting is saying and deciding what's important. So when you have a set of bullet points, that is you saying these are the most important things throughout this day, even though I've got 7,000 other words in this live blog. These are the things, the key aspects of today's developments that you really need to know.
And the writing style itself should be conversational, Timworth added.
It's conversational, but punchy. You don't have a lot of time to throw in a lot of analysis and synthesis. You are pointing and commenting on stuff very, very quickly, depending on whether you're doing the linking style or the note-taking style, if you like. But in both cases, it's much more about the key characteristic is speed, getting the stuff up quickly in real time to answer people's desire for information quickly. So it tends to be chatty, it tends to be conversational, because what you're actually creating is this sense that these people are watching the event, and you are there finding stuff out for them. And particularly long-term, day-long live blogging works best when there is this sense of dialogue between the audience and the person doing the live blog.
Finally, here's Tim West's closing tip for becoming a successful live blogger.
Practice, practice, and practice again. You know, working intensely in real time is hard work, and it's not an easy skill. And you need to, before you do it live and in public, is worth trying a few trial runs for yourself first. The other thing is, I always get horribly dehydrated when I do a lot of live blogging, so drink lots of water.
You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.